I'm Ben.
I'm Barry.
And this is two beers and a microphone. Why do you always fuck that part up?
Yeehaw, BMers. Yeehaw.
Ride 'em cowboy. Really? Or something. I don't know.
No, we're Vermont.
Sodomize the bull? No, no. That doesn't work either, does it?
There's no banjo. We're back after taking the hand.
Yay!
Thank you.
It's been a long time.
It has.
Do I know you?
No.
I didn't realize that you had grown a beard. It was interesting to see you grow
well,
a beard.
Well, you know, I think after any time away from each other, you should really come back looking a little bit different. And so I've noticed you have honking sideburns that go down to your chin, which is great. And I'm now sporting a dry Gundo beard.
I also shaved my balls. I don't know if you care about that.
Well, you know, the beard, it's funny you should mention that, because the beard is actually the only facial hair or body hair, period, that I have left on my body.
I've noticed that, yes. What's up with that?
I'm a swimmer now.
Okay, there's no, you're not ill. That's my question.
No. I do it because I need the speed.
And the hair was holding you back.
Well, there's a lot that holds me back.
I think it's creepy.
Intelligence.
That whole thing with swimmers shaving every inch. Really? I mean, Michael Phelps is creepy to begin with, especially when he has
Michael
a goatee.
Michael Phelps is a fucking machine. But that guy is amazing.
I don't know.
He downs something like 9,000 calories a day.
Really?
So do you know what 9,000 calories? That is like, that's like two Thanksgiving dinners. Big Thanksgiving dinners. Like, if you're a big-ass man, that's how much he eats per day, and he burns it.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch.
He does make me, and it makes me hate him more, frankly.
If he ever stops swimming, he's gonna get fucking fat quick.
He's gonna look 9,000, like Fat Albert.
Oh my god. 9,000.
Hey.
Oh,
it's Michael
Lord.
Phelps.
That fucking dude.
So speaking of having shaved my balls, let me tell you something.
Mm.
I did some.
What are we drinking here?
Oh yeah, wait. I am drinking the last of the Samuel Adams Summer Ale.
Ah, well, it is now
fall.
Fall officially.
What are we, 2 days into it now?
Yes, and I'm drinking in preparation for the oncoming snow, which will happen any day now.
Yes,
tomorrow. Now that it's technically fall, it really could happen any day. I'm drinking the Magic Hat Winter Seasonal Howl.
So, really, you know, we should pull back the curtain just a little bit and let folks know that in the B-Man Studios, beer consumption happens most on recording days.
And for as you would expect.
And for new listeners, we should really pull back the curtain, let them know that we are recording live, or live on tape, from my kitchen table.
From our kitchen to yours.
Yes. So this is the B-Man Studios, which is my domicile, and that's why I don't drink a lot of beer during a normal week. And so really, I'll go through two or three on a podcast day, and that's why we still have winter seasonal and summer seasonal.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not really an alcoholic.
No?
No matter how hard I try, I just can't get it hooked on anything.
You're not?
Except crack cocaine.
Well, as it turns out, if you're going to be hooked on something, crack cocaine is forgivable.
Is it really?
Well, just in terms of being hooked on it.
I mean, your septum being... doesn't.
Well, most people say, look, I'm hooked on this. Like, this is crack. It's crack to me. But usually crack is the qualifier. It's the, hey, if you're going to compare an addiction, why not compare it to crack, which is the ultimate in addictions.
Huh.
I guess cigarette smoking might be the pre-ultimate, ultimate but one.
Yeah, cigarette is the legal equivalent to crack, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Excuse me.
That was great. Thank you for that.
Yes, I've been saving that for 2 months.
Mm.
Just for you.
So what have you been doing with your summer, besides swimming?
Well, not too much.
I say swimming because, of course, we had Irene.
We did. Yes, and for most folks, I think we discussed, we were still broadcasting at the time. Well, we did have some water in May here at the B-Man Studios. But
we had no fucking clue what we were talking about.
No. And
we had no idea.
And in Irene's case, for those out there, Hurricane Irene came strolling through Vermont not too long ago.
Oh, yes.
The B-Man Studios were high and dry.
Well, now that's good.
Yes,
that's
good. How about yourself? I know you live in a low lying area yourself, so
yeah, it's totally low lying. I mean, we're in a bowl, but no, we were fine. We were fine. Unfortunately, I have family members and neighbors who they got washed out. Mm. And you know, one thing that I think is really important is if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking to yourself, "Wow, these guys really have heart." No, far from it. Actually, we're going to be using their misery as material tonight, and that's important because I want you to feel, you know, deep down in the bottoms of your heart that we have no scruples here at
not a one.
One B 2M.
No.
Shit, is it 1B2M?
No, 2B.
2B.
Yes, you had more.
It's been a long time, and I'm hitting the ball. I'm hitting the sauce.
Our last scruple left the door about half a minute ago.
It
so
did.
We have no more scruples.
No, and you know, I think the last time we were on, we were making fun of the fucking Japanese for.
I believe that
for,
was
for the yeah. nuclear.
What the hell just happened there?
I don't know. What happened was we actually went off air for like a half a second. When we mentioned Irene, it must be an omen.
Maybe the gods are letting us know.
I think
know.
The gods, yeah, they were like, you know what? We fucking flooded your state and it's too fucking bad. And don't you dare fucking, you know.
Mention those poor irradiated Japanese folks.
Yeah, or, you know, the people that you're going to make fun of because they got their homes washed away. I do feel sorry for the Vermonters that got hit with this.
Well, I mean, we're a landlocked state. You would think that a hurricane / tropical storm wouldn't affect the Green Mountain State.
Well, it did, though, but it affected us in so many weird ways. Like, for example.
Yes.
Homes got washed away. I mean, if you think about it, that's
horrible.
That is horrible. On the bright side, they were not very good homes to begin with. I mean, we're talking about Vermonters.
And
these were shitty homes.
Well, I
these were not like, you know, mansions that got washed down. These were like, you know, fucking ratty ass, nasty Vermont homes.
And I'd like to say that that's good for them, but the way that the FEMA structure is set up, they get like $5.
But that's what they were worth. That's, you know, you pay them what they're worth.
And, no, okay.
You know that you could look what you could do with that $5. You could go out to a cheap lunch.
Michael Phelps could buy a $5 footlong.
That's a nice pick me up snack. Thank you.
You just lost all your possessions. Here's the crisp $5 bill.
Don't spend it all in one place for
Abraham honest. Lincoln's face is coming to your wallet right now.
You know what? Those poor fucking Vermont bastards. I mean, they had time to like grab shit and go. And if you think about it, they mostly just went because there's not much to grab. I mean, what the fuck are they gonna grab?
Well, you want
to
grab your cigs.
Yeah.
You want to grab a case of beer.
Sure.
And your
if
and
you can, you know, but that shit will float.
Yeah, but then you have to wash it.
Well, you know.
You don't want poo on your Budweiser.
You certainly don't.
No. I mean, there's poo inside Budweiser.
Sure.
Actually, I don't think I've ever had Budweiser.
You've never had Budweiser?
No.
Well, all right. So if you were to urinate into a bottle,
okay,
it would be a pretty close approximation.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, what's your take on Pabst? Not Pabst Schmier, but Pabst Blue Ribbon. You ever had that?
I've never had it.
No. Okay. Because I see a lot of hipsters drinking the Pabst.
Hipsters?
Yeah.
Are they down with it?
I work with a hipster.
Do you?
Yeah. He's a skateboarding guy. He's actually a listener of a podcast, so he'll enjoy this.
Oh, fantastic. He's a little shout out to your buddy.
He's a skateboarder.
Mm-hmm.
He wears black all the time. So he's one of those guys.
Oh, is this the douchebag? Go ahead. Yeah.
So he wears black all the time, skateboarder, and he drinks Pabst. He went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just to visit the Pabst factory.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'd be interested to know what's in Pabst.
And to bang his girlfriend. But, I mean, bat and beer.
You know what? I never, ever, like, make fun of somebody for wanting to get their fuck on. You want to get your fuck on, you go right ahead, man.
Yeah.
But why drink Pabst? Why do that?
Why go to Milwaukee, though?
Well, Milwaukee's got a lot of different things that attract people to it. For example.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Wait. No, no.
Yeah, there's no redeeming value to
there me. Is no, okay, fine. There's no, was the chick hot? No, this is Milwaukee.
I've seen a picture. Seen a picture and she is attractive. I think she must be a transplant. Are you sure it was her? I think so. I've seen it.
There's some chicks that like put a bag over their head and that's the sticker that they slap to the bag.
No, this looked authentic.
This is an authentically hot Milwaukee girl.
Yeah. I'm not talking like, you know, what was that sitcom, the spinoff of Happy Days? Laverne and Shirley. I'm not talking Laverne and Shirley because no one would ever say Penny Marshall was ever hot.
No.
No. I mean, no. She was ugly. When she was born, she was hit with the ugly stick.
You know, sometimes when I tuck my dick and balls back behind my legs,
you look like Penny Marshall?
A little bit.
Yeah. Now that I'm kind of, yeah, I can see it. Penny Marshall with a beard. Actually, Penny Marshall with less of a beard.
Oh.
Yeah, I think she has more facial hair.
More facial hair. I would suspect so.
Yeah.
I would suspect
although I've seen you with a mustache.
Mm.
Now, earlier in the year, you went. You were just going the mustache look.
Well,
what was up with that?
It was important to me because I wanted to make sure that people knew that it wasn't just pedophiles that had pencil-thin mustaches. It was jerk-offs, too. And I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to make sure that people knew that there was more out there than just their perceived notions, which is also why, for a little while there, I actually shaved it down a little bit and had a little bit of a Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Or you could also call it a Charlie Chaplin mustache, depending on the hat. It really, you know, it has to do with the motif that you're wearing. It's okay. Not just one thing or another. I mean, one thing doesn't define a person.
So you're saying the mustache didn't make Hitler, it was his hat.
Actually, I think it was killing the Jews that made Hitler, not the mustache at all. Oh, okay. But that's me.
That's important too, actually.
Charlie Chaplin, for all his, you know, I like to go by what Charlie Chaplin once said.
That he actually spoke. Every movie I've ever seen him in, he doesn't say a fucking word. I thought he was deaf.
No, well, he is, and mute, and he's a little blind, which is why I kept knocking into shit. This is, you know, a true story.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right. Charlie Chaplin once said... I have no idea what Charlie Chaplin once said. I thought... Actually, here's the thing. I thought something funny would actually come to my lips, but as I began to come to the precipice of that cliff...
Yeah.
I realized I was just going to fall down that canyon. There was no way I was going to jump over that ravine.
I didn't take you off the train of thought when I mentioned that he was deaf. And mute and all that stuff. I feel bad if I took you off your train of thought. By the way, I should let the listeners know that I have cracked into my second year of the podcast.
You'd have to with the jokes I'm laying out here.
And I'm certainly feeling it. Now, this is a Woodchuck Hard Cider, and it's a Private Reserve Pumpkin.
Interesting. This is the shit that Vermonters get because
and
we're Vermonters.
And I'm really, it's 6.9% alcohol per volume, and I'm really feeling it. And I don't know if it's the fact that I've been working a little extra this weekend or not.
Mm.
But yeah, my brain is becoming mush as I speak.
Is that why you're rubbing your tits right now? That's
because you're here, Benji. So certainly that's why.
That's weird. I don't think our listeners really want to visualize you rubbing your tits like that. That's
so
not...
speaking of intimate things that I shouldn't talk about on this podcast.
No, please.
So I did some community service yesterday.
Mm.
And
holy shit!
I was working at a...
You actually helped like another person?
Yeah, I was working in the soup kitchen.
Mm.
Yeah, and I worked in there for quite a while, and over the course of the day, I began to chafe. Have you ever chafed?
As in, like, you know, riding horseback and you chafe your thighs or something?
Yeah,
like that.
This was my inner thighs, both of them. I chafed them to the point in which they were raised, red, and very painful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The last hour and a half that I was working last evening, every time I took a step, it felt like I had some type of a venereal disease. And I don't think I did. I mean, the homeless people I was helping, they were fine. They were, you know, they're all clean.
Mm.
So
of the ones that you fucked, you thought that they were clean.
Yes.
Exactly. You mentioned venereal disease. So
exactly.
There's only one way to get that. I don't know if you know
that.
I
had to go to the bathroom a couple of times, and you know, you can get those from toilet seats, can't
no,
you?
No. No, you really... That's actually... You can't pick up too much from toilet seats unless you yourself are sitting down on a toilet seat with, like, your anus all cut up. Or actually, it wouldn't even be your anus. It would be your buttocks, because that's, of course, what you're sitting on.
Right.
Having sat on a bloody toilet seat from somebody else who had also cut up their buttocks. So, at that point, you could probably, you know, contract something. Otherwise, you're fucking homeless people. That's what you're saying on air.
So,
no, please, tell me more about this.
Well, I don't think it was them. I mean, you know.
Of the people you fucked,
they
it
were
was
very,
not them.
Yeah, they were very nice, and they needed love, too. Yeah. Woodchuck Hard Cider. Proud sponsor.
Of fucking homeless people. God damn it!
This is a great opening podcast. We're only 16 minutes into this show, and we've already surpassed.
We're back, baby.
The first 5 episodes.
We are back.
So yeah, chafing. I had some bad chafing.
Did you?
I still do, but we're getting through it.
There you go. Now I noticed you survived the satellite that was coming in on re-entry here.
Speaking of re-entry.
Re-entry, not rear entry, but just Freudian slip there.
I saw an AP alert that said NASA reports satellite has crashed into Earth. Where did that crash?
Pacific Ocean.
So nowhere's near Dover, Delaware.
Not to my knowledge, unless there's something that
I'm thinking, really, there's no reason.
Did you just pick that out of a hat?
I think Dover, Delaware probably should be wiped off the face of the Earth.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty plain. I don't know.
Really, that town offends you.
Yeah, for some
reason. The state offends you, or just the town?
I don't think it ever driven. It just seems like a boring place, Delaware.
You know, I'd like to just publicly state we are a small state, Vermont.
We are,
but we are not nearly as boring as Delaware or Rhode Island. Fuck those people.
I forget they're there.
Fuck those fucking people.
Yeah.
What have they contributed to society? Now, I know Delaware, you know, has contributed to our current vice president, but fuck him.
Well, exactly. I mean,
and Rhode Island?
They've never done anything.
I mean, I have, like, one or two things that I can think of that Rhode Island is famous for.
Well, I know there's Provincetown.
Yeah, but you know what's in Provincetown?
Yes.
What?
There's a lot of effeminate people.
Provincetown?
Isn't it Provincetown? Isn't it like a
by effeminate you mean gay?
Yes, that's kind of like the.
You have a problem saying gay people?
Well, I don't know.
There's lots of gay people around.
If
you don't
I,
need
if
to
I
go to Provincetown.
So drunk, I probably would. Yes. No, I mean, isn't Provincetown is a kind of the capital of homosexuality in the East Coast?
Is that the capital? Is there an actual? There's like. I have a feeling that I want to sleep with other men, so I could go to Provincetown where that sort of thing is not only legal. Actually, it's not even legal.
Yeah. Not in Rhode Island?
Well, Rhode Island is one of the only New England states to not to actually not have any kind of civil union or marriage thing.
Oh.
They're actually very anti-gay, which is weird.
Hello, how are you?
Well, they're surrounded by, you know, all these laws of... Excuse me, I was trying to, but I couldn't because of the, yeah. So, in any case, they're actually surrounded by, you know, states that are equal opportunity, you know, go ahead and get married, get divorced on us. And
my name is Lance, and I'm running for governor of Rhode Island, and I want to say, vote for me.
Why Lance?
Well, my name is Lance Homo.
Lance Homo.
Lance Homo, running
That's great.
For governor of
There
Rhode
is nothing
Island.
Stereotypically...
Nothing about
offensive
that
about
all.
That. That's fantastic.
Hello, all. Just vote for me, please. Thanks.
That's fantastic. You know, there's a little Bill Clinton in there. There's a little Bill Clinton.
I want to say thank you very much, Benjamin. It has been a pleasure talking with you. And the Clinton, go blow global.
Go blow, huh?
God damn this woodchuck cider. It's good.
But it is.
The Clinton Global Initiative thanks you for this podcast. Thank you. Goodbye.
That's you know what? It would take quite a lot of donations to actually have the real Bill Clinton say that.
It would. I mean, we would have to be collecting our empties for a very long time.
Now, this is true. A buddy of mine actually got emailed just the other day from the Gore people.
Speaking of closeted homosexuals.
Well, look, last time I checked, Tipper was, you know, in fact, female, so we...
Well, there's always been that... I would not be surprised.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, he sounds like, hello, how are you?
Oh, dear God. So, in any case, Al Gore contacts my buddy, or his people does. He doesn't personally. He just says, you know, they want to use his drawing for a fish. It's true. He's got a drawing of a fish up on his website that he drew. They really did. They just came across it. I have no idea how they came across it, but they said, can we use your fish? So he thought about it, and he can name his price, I mean, because it's his copyright, so he can, you know. And so I think he emailed them back and said, yeah, but Al Gore has got to write me a thank you note or something like that. And he never heard back from him again. Al Gore would not be bothered
to write a thank you note. Guys don't do that, though. Even... I mean, have you
ever... I don't know. How about, like, thank you, and then what my friend's name is. We'll call him Billy. Thank you, Billy, from Al Gore. That's it, man. He can give the fucking note to his people and let his people...
That's true, actually. These people could just sign a form, auto-pen it.
They can't auto-pen it.
They can't?
No, he's not a president.
So auto-pen is only if you're president?
I think so.
Oh, so I didn't know that. I thought auto-pen just means it was, like, someone that could autograph your...
Really? Do you think they'll actually have, like, an auto-pen thing where you can hold it in your hand and it'll actually make the motions?
Well, I mean, you know those... You know, if you get, like, any, like, junk mail, there's always, like, a signature in there. I always assumed that was auto-pen.
I just think that that's, you know, printed out paper.
Oh.
You know, they do have printers. I don't know if you're aware of that. They even have photocopiers. You can do it faster than printers.
You mean they're not hand-signing every one of my credit
letters? Yeah, I don't think they are. I think that's a separate machine that does that.
Oh. So what's an auto pen then?
An auto pen is just that. It's, you know, it's a machine that exactly mimics the one signature that you have.
Hmm.
And so it's done in ink, but it's done with a machine instead of with a person.
But you have to be president to have that?
I do know that a president can auto-ink almost anything, but when it comes to, like, laws and those kinds of things, stuff that needs an official signature, the president can't just auto-signature that. You've got to actually have the president sign it.
So you seem to have a pretty good word with all about this. Let me ask you a serious question.
Go for it.
So when a president signs into law, there's multiple pens used.
Yes.
And I believe when President Obama was signing in the health care legislation,
correct,
he had to use like 14 or 15 different pens.
That's right.
And so he would sign like a letter of his name, and then he would do it in a different pen.
Mm-hmm.
He would. How? What the fuck is the point of that?
So the pens are then given away to the legislators that helped to create the legislation, usually the co-writers of the legislation. The pens are given away to those people as keepsakes.
Oh.
And they do that. They don't just do that for the national government. They actually do that for usually the state government.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you had a major part in helping to write a law, once the governor signs it into law, usually the pen, along with the part of the law that you wrote, is presented to you.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, they don't pay those people shit, so...
Here's a free pen.
Here's a fucking pen.
You wrote a sentence. Here's a pen.
Well, it's got to be pretty substantial. You can't just be like, you know, hey, I helped to edit a sentence or two. I mean, you've got to really, you know, you've got to basically have written that part of the law, and then they give you the pen along with the law that went into effect.
Huh.
Usually in a nice plaque or something like that.
I'm sorry to have sidetracked us. And
No. I mean, these are all interesting questions. And
So if all our listeners out there are always wondering what the fuck an auto pen was, we now know what that is. And we now
know it's an actual machine.
Why the president has to sign, or any... Thank you,
Chuck Snyder. I bet you there are CEOs that do enough of that crap where they've got auto pen.
Yeah.
You know, types of things, and other world leaders and stuff. But
you think the Pope has an auto pen? Or you think he has
auto? Oh my God! Yeah, the Pope absolutely. He's got auto pen.
Thou shalt smite my paper.
Oh, man, the Pope is nothing more than a fucking, you know, he's a minister who's a politician. He's the ultimate minister / politician. And, you know, I disagree personally with him, but I understand where he's coming from. I mean, the guy, he was basically elected. He's all powerful, but there's a lot of responsibility there. You got to, like, really think to yourself, hey, anything that I do could actually change the church so irrevocably that I could be the downfall of a church.
Besides that, he also has had to decide which cool hat to wear every day.
Well, that's true.
Do I wear the red one, or do I wear the pointy one?
Going with the white one.
Do I wear the one with sequins, or what goes best with a bubble car? I'm not sure the Pope speaks like that.
You know, the Pope is an asshole just like the rest of us. And really, I think the guy is, I think he's, you know, he's a regular, you know, as much as you or I is a tool, I think the president's a tool, or excuse me, the Pope is a tool.
Well, the president's a tool, too. Yeah.
The president actually might be a bigger tool than the Pope, but I myself am not Catholic, but I would imagine that if I was, I would at least have the wherewithal to know that the Pope is just an average guy. He really isn't any more holy than anybody else. The issue is when people start getting into, like, you know, oh, he's so whatever. And then, you know, that's when you let your kid get molested by fucking, you know, priests and shit. Because you don't have the common sense to go, hey, let me put my own little two cents into this.
And why are they called pilgrims?
Why are they called pilgrims?
They don't have buckles on their shoes.
No, they don't.
And they do not arrive by wooden boat.
They do not. So therefore, they should not be called pilgrims.
I always think that's weird around Easter time when you hear the news reporters, and all the pilgrims went to Vatican Square for the papal announcement. Oh, pilgrims of what?
I don't know. They're not really making a pilgrimage, per se.
I don't think so.
Now, the people of Mecca, when they go, what is that, Hajj or whatever?
Oh, sure.
Those fucking people are pilgrims.
Absolutely.
Because they're going there for a religious purpose that's, like, an actual purpose. The people going to see a fucking announcement in fucking Italy, they're just going for the fucking food, like the rest of us, you know?
For the wine, the food.
And to see the Pope. Yeah. Oh, look, it's the Pope. Let's have a fucking plate of spaghetti, you know? Like, that's why they're not fucking pilgrims. They're not going there for a deeply religious experience. They're like going to a rock concert, you know? Woo! Let's go see the Pope, motherfucker.
Because I know people that that would be ultra Pope in that sense that you were just talking. Oh, there goes a bottle camera.
Anyway, you were saying.
So they're ultra Pope, you know. Yeah. So they would consider themselves a pilgrim, and I'm religious to some respect, but to go, you know, kind of like crashing the gates at the papal house because I want to hear him say amen or something, that seems ridiculous to me.
It is ridiculous. Yeah. It's, you know, it's going to see a famous movie star, you know.
Although, when, you know, to kind of tie this up in a big bow, when I was in junior high school, or whenever Bill Clinton was running for president the first time.
Yeah.
Okay. I went, my father was a member of a union, and so he was very active. He was one of the officers. We went to see Bill Clinton speak as a candidate at Perkins Pier in Burlington. And it was very good. It was very moving. And I knew he was a good speaker. So he gets done, and he's walking through the crowd. And I wanted to shake his hand because I was that moved, okay? So I'm right at the line where the Secret Service folks are going through. And he's walking through, and I have my hand there, and he's like two away from me. My hand is ready for the handshake, and these people push me aside from the back of the crowd because they wanted to shake his hand. And just as his hand was getting to mine, their other hand sneaked right in, and he passed right over me. And I did not get to shake the hand of President Bill Clinton, the now president, ex-president Bill Clinton.
Well, what would that have meant for you?
I don't know. I was going to smell my hand to see.
You were going to smell your hand. That's...
I wasn't...
And on that note... We will say so long, BMers, because this is the end of this particular podcast. We look forward to talking with you each week and basically kicking back with some beers and chilling with you folks. Thank you for hanging in with us with a very long summer, and hope to see you again. Hopefully, you know, not crowded around Barry's balls.
And I'm hammered. Bye.